Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. My very special guest this week is Lois Smith, who's the legendary actress who is a major television, film, and theater star. She is starring in Horton Foote's latest play that opens on the 10th. Tell us about Trip to Bountiful. I know you did the show in 06 in New York.
Yes, we did it in New York 2 years ago, and to a lovely production and fortunately to great acclaim. It's a beauty, this play, a real beauty.
So tell us
and
what
we
it's about.
We were able to bring that cast and that design team here, so we get to go at it again, which is a lovely thing to be able to do. We don't always get to do that, you know, refine something that's already been done. It's about a trip that this old lady takes, a trip of identity, a trip of memory, a trip toward the end of life, but it's about all of life. I think about this over and over because the play keeps deepening as one gets more acquainted with it. And it is so much about a trip that I think it's a trip almost everybody relates to. It's such a human, needy event.
So set the premise for us. Your character...
She lives with her married son in a very cramped two-room apartment in Houston. And she dreams and thinks of where she came from, which is a little town called Bountiful, closer to the Gulf.
In Texas, correct?
In Texas, yes. Horton's plays are set, very nearly all of them, in his town of Harrison, Texas. Harrison has a bit of a part in this one also. Bountiful is very close to Harrison. And it's a made-up town, though there is actually, I remember finding out when we were in rehearsal, there is a Harrison, Texas, but the town that Horton grew up in is Wharton, Texas. So it's a kind of fictionalized Wharton, and it's his town, and most of his population of his plays live in Harrison. It's a series of inventions, this outpouring of this playwright over so many years. And
he's amazing.
Amazing.
So this story now, your character's living with her son and daughter, right?
A less than ideal relationship with her daughter-in-law.
Oh, daughter-in-law, okay.
To put it mildly. And she runs away from home to get to Bountiful. And that's the major action, but there's a lot of action along the way.
And she takes a bus ride.
Yeah, she takes a bus ride. That's right. Yeah. She has to run away to do it. And she encounters some people, some memories, some facts, some of them hard to face, which revive her. I think that's fair to say.
So you're saying that everyone's going to really enjoy this play, huh?
People tend to really enjoy this play. I think they really do. Yes, I was very impressed being in this play in a couple of years ago. It's not always that I have such a sense that people were really glad they were there. That's a lovely thing to encounter at the end of a performance.
And of course, nothing can do it like live theater.
I think that's true.
I have not seen the play. I did see the film, which I thought was terrific, with Geraldine Page.
Terrific. I think so too.
Who won an Academy Award for the same role.
Better. The same role. Yeah. The play's even better in a way. Well, I suppose that's not fair to say, but the play has a real shapeliness of development, and it's different from a movie, so
okay.
I find it very satisfying.
How do you approach playing a character that was in a film and the actress who played that character wins an Academy Award? How do you approach that?
You know, that did intimidate me a bit at the beginning. I knew Jerry Page and admired her hugely, and I'd seen the film, though I have never seen the play done on the stage, though it's often done. It's a very popular play of Horton's. And I had to get over it, you know, which wasn't really too hard to do. But at first people would say, "Oh, yes, you're going to do the Geraldine Page part." In Oh, great. But I stopped thinking about that immediately. I really did. And
you brought what you bring to the party.
That's
to the
right.
Play.
I don't think anybody would confuse the two performances. Because we're just very different. Yeah.
Yeah. And from what I've read about the role, your performance is that everybody says that you just bring so much more depth to it.
Well, thank you.
That's what I'm anticipating, because I go back to seeing your work at Steppenwolf.
Yes, I'm glad you've seen it. Yes, yeah. I love working at Steppenwolf as well. I'm a member of the company, and it's a great treat to work with your fellows.
Tell us who else is in the cast of Trip to Bountiful.
Horton's daughter, Hallie Foote, who is a prime exemplar of his plays. I believe she has done more than anybody, and is she wonderful. She is so wonderful. I've seen her do a lot of them, and I've so admired her. And it's such a treat to be able to do this play with Hallie. And Devin Abner is Horton's son-in-law. So it is, in a way, there is a family affair here. By the way, getting to be part of the Foote family, which one does when one is close and in a play, it's another bonus treat of this event.
Well, tell us about, I know Horton is very hands-on with his plays.
Oh, yes.
That he attends all the rehearsals.
He loves rehearsal.
Yeah.
You know, he started out as an actor, and
yes, he did.
Loves rehearsal. And he's lovely with actors. He's enormously supportive, and he's a kind and courtly and gallant person, also full of humor and acuteness. So he's a great person to have in rehearsal, really wonderful.
Oh, so he's an actor. It isn't, because some actors are very intimidated by having the playwright.
Well, sometimes they can be intimidating, but not this one.
Oh, that's good.
I think the
warmth comes out in his writing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So tell us how you deal with doing 8 performances a week in a show with this kind of depth.
Well, you just do. That's the way it's scheduled, you know. So that's what we do. We do 8 performances a week. It's hard when it's too many two-show days in a row. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. You don't have a doesn't wear you out.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a tricky knee. Sometimes I think, The other night we finished a two-show day, or actually I think it may have been a day of rehearsal with a show. We're still in previews. And after the performance, I started to walk into the restaurant, and I said to Harris, my knee was fine all the way through the day and the evening. And just as I finished, it says, "Okay, you've had enough now." So it goes, "Oh!" And my knee begins to feel weak.
But it's after the show.
It's after the show, yes.
Well, that's good. That shows some of the training you've had through the
years. Doctor Theater, goes to work on us when we have something the matter with us.
Yeah, and then it gets all right the next day for the performance.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is so terrific. So I just can't wait to see the show, because it's part of the Horton Foote Festival.
Oh, yes.
And Talking Pictures was terrific.
Wasn't it?
Yes. Oh. And the two one-acts, I thought, were
just
absolutely brilliant,
wonderful.
Too.
Yeah. Yes.
And
we got to overlap with them a little, so we got to see both of those evenings, and now they've closed.
Yeah.
So it's just us.
Yeah.
The festival, yeah.
Well, but it's such a tribute to a man whose writing is just so real.
You bet.
And I brought a young playwright, friend of mine, to see the one-acts, and he kind of remembered Horton from, everybody knows him from the film.
Of course.
You know, from Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
But he never saw him originally do any of the plays, and Blind Date and the actor, just. He says, "Wow." He says, "If I could ever get even a tenth that good."
Oh.
And I go, "Well, that's a good lesson for young writers."
You bet.
And I think for actors, too.
Yeah.
So tell us how you approach doing his kind of work.
Well, you know, when you're given this text with its with its genuineness, is not only is there an authenticity in the people, which is so deep and wonderful, but his craft is lovely as well. So the play has a shape and a movement which it's buoys one up. How do I work on it? Well, the first thing is to carefully read it again and again and again and learn it that way, learn it as I go. And I don't know if I've ever had such a sense that I was learning this play and shaping my performance in it from so directly from the text. Of course, one always starts with a text, but this text seemed to just burst into life and in me. And so, once in rehearsal,
so it had that truth.
Once we were
to it.
In rehearsal, there's the freedom of truth. You know,
yes.
There were times when I thought, if with this text, what can I do wrong? How can I go wrong?
That's quite a compliment.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and welcome back to Chicago.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a number of years since you did some of the shows at Steppenwolf.
It has been. It's been a few years, and I'm happy to be back in Chicago.
I mean, you did from...
What a handsome city this is.
Isn't it? And what a vibrant theater community.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's really happening here.
It really is. Yeah. There are so many companies.
Well, I remember you in Royal Family and The Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath was my first work with the Steppenwolf Company, and that was an enormous, wonderful privilege and adventure that we had. We got to do it in three different productions, each one.
Oh, that's right.
Building on the one before, and it was started out in Chicago, and then we were invited to a theater festival in London, an international theater festival, and we had to put it up again because we were still working on it. There were changes in every way, in the text and in the production and even in how the music was used and what music. And so we rehearsed it again in Chicago about 9 months later and then took it to La Jolla, where we opened the season there and then went directly there from there to London, where we were a big smash. And
after that,
about 6 months later, we came to Broadway and rehearsed it again and put it on there. There was a great deal of interest in taking it to New York, but until our London success and the Schuberts, who had enough money and enough theaters to bring it about, then we got to Broadway.
Yeah, it's tough to bring dramatic shows to Broadway, isn't it?
And it's a big one. It was over 40 people.
Yeah, I know. It's a major.
It's large, yeah.
It's a major work. Well, let's talk about the start of your career, because the timing, this is your sixth decade of acting.
It's true, it is.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. I was aware a few years ago, hey, 50 years I've been doing this. And that was a few years ago, so you're right, sixth decade.
Fantastic.
Isn't that impressive?
What a body of work in that time. I was reading where when you hit New York, it was quite a time to be an actor in New York, because besides the stage, dramas and musicals, they were doing all that live television.
There was lots of live television there, and it wasn't just that it was television, it was plays.
Yeah.
There were so many plays on television. As a matter of fact, in the first year of its life, Trip to Bountiful was done on television, and in the same season, it was done on Broadway.
Yeah, what wasn't incredible about that was it was a shorter version.
Yes.
Originally on television,
and then
when Horton had to add to it and add another act almost.
And another thing that's so interesting, it was written in 1953 as a three-act play, and it was done on Broadway as a three-act play. And now we are doing it without an intermission. In the third week of rehearsal in the New York production, Horton said one day, we could do this without an intermission. We were planning to do it with one. It has been done many times, I think, with one intermission.
Yes,
and
I think so.
It was designed that way. And I was so thrilled that this decision was taken and carried out, and the design was able to adapt to make it work. And it flows from beginning to end. And
audiences are getting now to the point where they like plays without an intermission. And I do. As one who goes over every night, I really like it. And I think it works so well building up the dramatic tension and the movement of a piece. Sometimes it gets broken.
Yes, of course they're not all alike, and sometimes they're built into sections that can be served by a break. But it's wonderful that we get to go straight through. It's wonderful. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting thing that change, that's a huge change in these 50 years, you know.
Well, it used to be, I think, you know, like some of the old musicals were so long, and the old Arthur Millers and Eugene O'Neill's were like 4 hours long, some of them, 3.5, 4 hours.
Yes.
I think times have changed. People are living a busier life.
Well, that's true.
They want
the
entertainment.
I must say, once in a while, when there's a really a long play that works, I just say, yes, give me more. I love it when there's great one.
That is true.
Still happens. Yeah.
Well, August Osage County is one of
those.
That's
one of them, you bet.
From your theater
that's
group.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's go on with your career. Now, you started in the 50s in television. Can you name a few of the television original plays that you did?
Yes, I can tell you the first one. It was the program was called Kraft Theater. They did an hour-long drama every week, and there were many of these. Where an individual play every week. The Robert Montgomery presents the Kraft Theater. The U.S. Steel did U.S. Steel Hour. It was called the Theater Guild produced it. Studio One.
Yes.
I mean, that was just part
Playhouse
of them.
90. Yeah.
Playhouse 90.
Yeah, I remember all
of
them.
Did it 90 minutes instead of an hour. That was my first television job was Kraft Studio Theater. It was an adaptation of John Galsworthy's The Apple Tree, and I played the lead. I mean, it was so lucky to begin. I had read for this casting director earlier than that for another one, and she told me that she became an extremely eminent casting director later on in her long life. And she told me later that you know, my reading had been wonderful, but they chose somebody because I was entirely inexperienced in television. And the next time around, I got it. And then I got to play a lead in a television drama for my first television appearance.
Wow.
I was really lucky.
But when you made it to New York, you got right on the stage.
Yes, I did. My first job in the theater was in a Broadway comedy that ran all year, a nice little featured part. And then I got this television job, and within the first 2 years I had worked in all three major media. I had a role in the film East of Eden, which is my first film. So that was a pretty great beginning. And
with James Dean, right?
With James Dean. And I got to do all those things. So I never had to really make a leap from one stage to film or television because I got to start them all. There was so much going on in New York then, so many plays, so many television plays. I sometimes feel when I tell young people about it now that they won't believe me. It's so different
from
what exists now in terms of, especially in television.
Well, would you tell the young actors today that learning your craft on the stage is help you a lot with film and television? I know they are different.
Well, they are different, but I mean, for me, there's no question that the theater is the seedbed and the soul of it. However, I know there are people for whom it is an entirely different experience, who never see theater even, and whose experience is film and television, and they want to be actors because that's what they think and that's what they know that actors do. I'm sure there are such.
Yeah, I won't name them, but there's one or two that were big film stars that later in their career recently tried to do theater, and they were horrible failures because I have to learn lines, and I have to say the same lines the same way every time, you know, whereas, you know, in film, right? Well, they just keep doing it over and over again.
It's an extremely different technique. Although, you know, basically it all, the work finally comes that an actor does, comes from the same fountain. but yes, it's very different.
Yeah. It's unfair to ask you, but I have to ask you this. Which do you prefer?
Well, I tell you, there's no question that it's most satisfying for an actor, I think, for this actor anyway, to do stage because you build your performance and you build it with other people and you all build it together in a room and shape it together and learn it together and find it together, and then you get to give it away together. And that's a great thrill and treat.
How much does the audience affect you know, in film and television, obviously there's no audience.
Well, you know, you have an audience, yes. It's very direct. And it's not that there aren't joys in film work and in television work. Television work in certain ways is similar to film work, because except it's done a lot faster. And sometimes that's fun, too, that you're not waiting a long time. It's a much faster process.
But you also did something that almost is never done. You did television that was live.
I did. Yes, it's
not. Did you have audiences? Did you have audiences for those shows?
No.
Okay, but they were live on television.
Yes.
I mean, you did them live.
They were live. Yeah. Live.
Yeah.
Yes, if you fell down or forgot your...
If you forgot your line, you forgot your line.
There it was. You forgot it nationwide.
So in a way, it was like television. It would be like as if there were cameras here at the Goodman.
Yeah.
That had to be a challenge.
Oh, it was so exciting. The thing was that's the way you did it, so nobody thought, oh, isn't this amazing what we're doing? Because that was what television was. That's how television drama was done. It was very exciting. It really was. And the crews were excited because they were, and of course, the equipment was a lot different then, that many years ago. Huge cables, huge cameras being pushed around with enormous cables, and the choreography of the cameras and the cables.
Yeah, how did they do set changes?
You move from set to set.
You just move, and then the cameras moved with you.
And of course, if that kind of a mistake was made, you'd really be in trouble, because one camera couldn't cross another's cables. You know, the cameras were choreographed.
So even technically,
it had its real challenges. And you might be at a set in one end of the studio, and you would be dashing across the floor changing your clothes for the next set and the next time when you got there. And I have a story that I'm very fond of, which happened to me in a production of Men in White, Sidney Kingsley's play. We were doing it on television, and sometimes you would be short or long, and the stage manager would say, you know, stretch it out, you know, the camera was on another scene. And I was dying. I had a botched abortion. I was a nurse dying, and they came to me and said, we're really, really short, so stretch it out. So I did. I died very, very slowly. And I was living in Princeton at the time, and I was on the platform catching a train into New York one day, and a man came up to me, and he said, I saw your performance the other night. He said, I'm a doctor, and I've never seen a more realistic death scene.
Wow. Great story.
I've always loved that.
Yeah. So what a challenge it had to be.
And sometimes, you know, you would be long, and they would just cut a scene or cut part of a scene, and as you're on the air, they say, okay, stop here and then pick it up here.
Boy, that had to be,
it's pretty exciting.
You had to think on your, because I remember the old comedies, Sid Caesar, Jackie Gleason, that were all live, and when goofy things would happen, but they were just improv.
Yeah.
But when you're with a structured, a script that's going somewhere and something has to happen, that would be quite a challenge.
Yeah.
So I would take it you would recommend that for young actors.
Live television, they're going to have a hard time finding that.
Well, we heard now with the explosion of cable television now, that there's some talk about that.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wouldn't
that be interesting?
Yeah. I don't know how they would work the rights and all that, but places like the Goodman would be perfect with the work they do here.
Goodness, yes.
Yeah. So tell us what's on the horizon for you now.
What's on the horizon for me? Well, there's a HBO new series which is being filmed. It won't be on the air for a while yet. They're just starting to make it, called True Blood. This is about vampires. And I'm in the first five episodes. And we shot the first three, but the strike stopped us. So probably as soon as I finish here, as a matter of fact, if they had their way, sooner than I finished here, I will go out and do episode four, and then episode five, and then that's the end of me. So the next thing I'm going to do is a couple of episodes of a series, an HBO series. It's Alan Ball's series. He did 6 Feet Under.
Yes, he's terrific.
And he also did a play in New York, last season, or maybe it's season before last, which he's so good and interesting.
Yeah, he is. He's very interesting.
So that's really fun.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And so how do you like being back here in Chicago?
Oh, it's lovely to be back in Chicago. Just lovely.
And I've working at the Goodman's got to be a treat for
you. It's the first time I've worked at the
Goodman. Is it really?
It's okay. A beauty, this theater.
Isn't it?
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
And it's so, well, it's so handsome, but it's also so alive. The acoustics are great. The sight lines are great. They really did build a beautiful theater here. I've seen a couple of things here, but it's the first time I've worked in this theater. And, of course, I worried about it because we did it at a small theater in New York. So it's a... multiplied its reach here. And that's quite challenging and very.
And what has audience reactions been?
Oh, they've been wonderful.
Yeah.
We've been in a week of previews, and it's been great.
Well, it is so great having you here. And what advice would you give to young actors? I always like to, when I have the veteran actors in town who really know what they're doing, give you an opportunity to impart a little bit of your wisdom to the young people.
You know, that's so hard to say. That work, that's the main thing. But, of course, that's easy to say and sometimes hard to do. a friend of mine was recently an actor, a veteran actor, and he said, I told them, just keep doing what you love, and if there isn't anything offered, then get together and, you know, read plays with your playwright friends and do and make your own production happen. Well, of course, in Chicago, that is exactly what happens.
Yes,
there is so it's a very different theater community in that sense that it is filled with entrepreneurs. It seems to me.
Yeah. That's there's a lot of energy here.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you get a chance to see any of the Steppenwolf
not much.
Show?
Well, I certainly hope I can see the one that opens the night before we do, so I'm going to have a hard time finding this. I believe the schedules may have a little bit of difference, so once in a while there'll be a time when I'm playing and they're not, and vice versa. So I certainly hope to see it while I'm here.
Okay.
But I can't see much because the schedules are pretty much always the same, you know, and when actors are working, they can't see each other.
That's a good problem for actors to have. Right?
If you're going to have a problem, it's a good one to have, yes.
So what are some of the things you would still like to be able to accomplish as professionally?
Oh, gosh.
Are there any roles you'd like to play that you haven't played?
You know, we were just talking about it the other day. I've done very little Shakespeare, alas. I've done a little, and I wish I had done more. I'd love to... Paulina in A Winter's Tale is a part I'd like to play. Now, I'm probably not going to get to because, well, it's a play in which the ages change and she goes from, you know, and she's not ever a very young person. But mostly, I think, I probably would be older than Paulina would be cast. But I keep thinking, well, that one is not out of the question. That's a part I'd like to play.
Yeah, you could play that.
But most of Shakespeare's women, I have passed them by in terms of my years. But we'll see. We'll see.
So you'd like to do a Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. There are certain characters especially that I've worked on them in scene work often, some of them, with great pleasure, but I haven't done many Shakespeare productions. I've done Mistress Overdone and Measure for Measure and Two Gentlemen of Verona.
I hope Barbara Gaines hears this and maybe considers you for some of the upcoming productions they have. I think you'd be marvelous on that stage. Have you seen any of the
I have, yes. Yeah. It's also a wonderful theater,
yeah.
Oh, this Chicago, you've got a lot of theaters here that are something to brag about.
Yes, they certainly are. And you should be proud of your work, your
Thank
career.
You.
I mean, you've done some fantastic television and film. I got to ask you about working with Steven Spielberg, how that was.
It was a true delight. He's very clear about what he wants. I had a hard time getting a hold of the scene. He was rewriting it. They're very secretive with the
script. Which play was that now?
The Minority Report.
Minority Report, right.
And, you know, it was really aggravating, and it was almost time to go out there, and I still hadn't read the damn thing, and they couldn't get the scene. And finally, I just got a hold of one of the producers, and I started asking, all right, well then, well, what is this? What is this? Who's? They said, oh, all right, we'll send you the script. You know what I say? So, but I got, I was lucky enough to have a bit of rehearsal with him and Tom.
Because that's rare in film, isn't it?
It was rare, and we had about an hour and a half, and it made all the difference. I was out there at the end of a week with lots of costume fittings, and you know, and he's so hands on. He knew exactly. So by the time I walked in to go to work on Monday morning, I knew that nobody was going to be saying, "No, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll wear this. Well, maybe we won't do it this way. Maybe we'll do it that way." It was clear, and the rehearsal I had made me know what he had in mind, and. The speed with, I said to Tom Cruise one day, it's like we're doing the importance of being earnest. It was like, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and I did most of the talking. And I just had to hole up in the hotel for the weekend and learn it when I finally got the script. And it was a great treat because both of them, Steven Spielberg is so smart, and Tom Cruise is, and they're both so lovely. It was a real treat.
And I'm sure they would say the same thing because, as you know, film people really love stage actors because you can learn lines and you can get in character.
Oh, I was lucky to have such a beautiful scene to do, too. That was fun, that scene.
So that had to be a cute thing working with those people. I'm sure, I've never met them, but I'm sure they would say you were quite a pro to work with.
Oh.
Because I know film casting directors have told me a couple times they love casting stage actors because they know they can get in character, they can learn lines.
Yes.
They're usually off book right away. Mm. Where some of the film actors, it's tough to get them to learn a few lines.
Maybe so. Most of my experience has been that people are conscientious and responsible. But yes, you're right. Sometimes people aren't. Sometimes people think they can say whatever they want to, which I find amazing.
Yeah. Especially if they're doing it.
You start out working with playwrights who have so carefully written what they've written, you know. Yeah,
can you imagine somebody trying to ad-lib in a foot play? I just couldn't see that.
Trying to paraphrase, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't see that. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
On a great career. It's so glad to have you back in Chicago.
Thank you.
And in a major piece. I can't wait to see the show.
Oh.
And I'm sure, folks, make sure you put Trip to Bountiful on your list of must-see plays.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Tom.
You so much.